part three of the Haggadah Shir, based on the Chasam Sofer. And we got to the Keta of Avarti Beretz Mitzrayim, Balayla Hazeh, Anivalo Malach, etc. The Chasam Sofer says on the Pasuk, yes, it says in the Pasuk, L'chol b'nei Yisrael lo yechratz kelev l'shono, that the dogs didn't make any sounds during Makas Bechoros. In order that you should be able to distinguish, Yafles, to distinguish between the Mitzrayim and Yisrael. So he asks, what does that have to do with the dogs? I mean, without the dogs, you can distinguish, we can make the distinction between Mitzrayim and Yisrael. Why? Because the Mitzrayim died during Machat Bechoros and not the Bnei Yisrael. So what does the dogs have to do with it? You can see the facts. So he explains, based on the Gemara in Baba Kama, that says that when the Malach HaMavas comes to a city, so the dogs cry. And when Eliyahu comes to the city, then the dogs are sochakim, they're like playing. So now, what should have been, at the time of Mitzrayim, when the Yisrael died, they lived, and they were nigal, and the Mitzrayim, they died, so we should have had dogs doing both these reactions. You know, crying because of the Malach HaMavis, killing the Mitzrayim, and playing because of the Geula, for the Eliyahu comes, the dogs play. So we should have had the dogs crying and playing, but yet what? Nothing. They didn't hear not a peep. They didn't cry. They didn't play. They didn't do anything. So what does that tell us? It means there was no Malach HaMavis over here, and there was no Eliyahu Navi. Who was it? From here we're able to distinguish that it was Hashem that was to kill the Mitzrayim. That's the Chiddush. Not that of course we saw the Mitzrayim died and not the Jews, but how do we know that Hashem did it? That we knew by the fact that the dogs didn't make a sound. Here's a famous story, but since we're going through the Chasam Sofer, we'll mention it. He says that his son, the son of the Chasam Sofer, was the Michtav Sofer. He became the Rav in Krakow. And he was very young at the time. And in Krakow there were a lot of big Talmid Chachamim. And they said, they know this young guy, he's going to be our Rav. They weren't happy about it. So they decided that when he's going to give his inaugurational drush, you know, his first drush, they're going to bomb him out and ask him all kinds of kashas and this and that and totally, you know, destroy it. So he got worded that this was going to happen. So when he got up to the bima, he gave a little bit of an introduction. And he said the following. He said that my father is a Chasam Sofer, he was a Rav in Pressburg. And there was one yid that he was poor at Skeder and he kept his store open on Shabbos. So, my father, you know, when he heard about this, of course, he wanted to, you know, tell the guy to close his store. So he sent two bachurim to tell him that he's, you know, the Rav said you have to close your store. So they came to his store and said, such and such, the Rav said. And the man says, nothing doing, forget it, get out of here. And he chased them away. Right? The two boys went back to the Chasam Sofer and they said, you know, you chased us out. So he says, go tell him again my name, he has to close the store. Right? So they came again, told him, the Rav said, you have to close your store. And he said, get out of here, and if you come back again, you're in big trouble. I'm going to beat you up. So I went back to the Rav and I said, he told us, forget it, and he's, if we ever come back again, he's going to beat us up. So the Rav says, go again. However, this time, I know you're afraid, so I'm going to teach you the Shem HaMeforash. Now, if you see the guy is getting really wants to beat you up, so go over to the mezuzah, put your hands on the mezuzah, and think about the Shem HaMeforash, and you'll be okay. He won't be able to touch you. Fine. So, two boys, they go to the store, and the Alabais looks up, and he sees them, and he says, oh, that's it. He says, I told you not to come back again. And he's like about to run after him with his, you know, fists raised in the air. they quickly run to the mezuzah and think about the Shema Mefurash. And all of a sudden, the guy, Balabai, stops right in his tracks and he collapses and dies. Right on the spot. So, the Chassam's like, my son's telling over this story. And he says, I just wanted to tell you people, before I give my drasha, that these two boys, one of them was me. He says, and I have, since then, I never forgotten the Shema Mefurash. So, listen, if you want to ask me kashas, you know, Shem Shemai, you want to understand the sugya better, you know, 100%. But if you're just doing it, just to show me up. Yeah. Anyway, so the word has it that that when he gave the drash, there was not a peep in the ulam. Right? They can hear a fly go by. They said it was totally silent. Okay. Yeah. Okay, the Esther Makos. So, yes, interesting thing on the Tzvardeya. The Pasuk says, Visharetz HaYor, but Tzvardim, there were frogs everywhere. Valu, Ba'u B'Veisachan, and the Torah lists where they went. They went into the houses, and their bedrooms, and their beds, and their avadim, etc., and the tanurecha, mishrosecha, and their kneading troughs, their ovens, etc. Ubechava amcha mechol avadecha, everywhere they went. Okay, that's the pasuk relating all the different places where the frogs went. However, when the Moshe davened for them to leave afterwards, it says, "V'yamutu atzvardim mina batim u'mina chatzerot." They left the houses and the courtyards u'mina sadot. So, ask the Chasam Sofer, one place it doesn't say where they went, where the fields. So, what does it mean? Moshe davened, and the frogs died from also the fields, but they didn't go into the fields. It's not one of the places that it says where they went all over, but one of the places it doesn't say dafka is the fields. So, how what's pshat that they died from the fields? So he says, interesting. He says that the frogs came, Moshe Rabbeinu, brought the plague of the frogs, and they went to all these different houses, the courtyard, etc. However, there were other frogs there also. Which were those? The ones that the Chartumim of Mitzrayim, they also, want to show, yeah, we can also make frogs. So they also made frogs. Now these frogs of the Chartumim, there's no place for them. Because the Mitzrayim was filled with the frogs that Moshe brought. So where do they have to go? They have to leave. They have to go out into the fields. Because no other place to go. So the frogs, there were frogs in the field, but not the frogs that Moshe brought. As we said, it doesn't mention they were in the fields. The frogs that were in the fields were the frogs that the Chartumim brought. Ah, so now when Moshe Rabbeinu davened that the frogs should die, so he says, you know what? Even though I'm not responsible for the frogs in the field, they're not my frogs, my frogs are everywhere else, not in the field. So I'm going to daven that the frogs that I brought died. If they want to get rid of the frogs in the fields, let them daven. But Moshe knew that people aren't going to be able to discern which are frogs for Moshe, but the frogs. And you say, you see, they didn't all die. There's still frogs out in the field. And therefore, he made sure that those ones also die, even the ones in the Sadat, so the people shouldn't have anything to say, even though he's not responsible for those frogs.
They were the Tanah Sechon, the ones that lived in Melvin.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, if people see them and say, die, some live.
Oh, okay. But that was a miracle. They ran out. Okay.
They
didn't.
Okay. It says Vayar Yisrael Siyad Hagdola. So he the Michta Sofer, Chasam Sofer's son, wants to ask his father. He says, I don't understand. It says in the Chazal, famous Chazal, Rasa Shivcha Layam Mashalo Ra Yecheskel B'Chazono. Michilta says that the Shivcha, the maidservant at Yamsuf, saw, had Nevuah, that which even Yechezkel, the Navi, didn't have. So he says, how is that possible? The Kosh Baruch Hu showed the Shivcha what he didn't even show Mamash, a real Navi, Yechezkel couldn't see. How could that be? So, Michtasov, he said he was a boy at the time, and to himself, he says, I think I have a simple answer to the question. Why? He says, let's say, you're sending a very, very secret, important secret letter with the shaliach to go take it somewhere. Right? So what are you going to do? So if you're sending it with a person that's a bar das, you know, a person that knows, so you're going to make sure you seal it really well and with the tape and this, because you don't want him to open it. It's a secret. So you want the shaliach to have a look. So you hide it. However, if you're sending it with a person that doesn't know how to read, I don't know, somebody thing, then you don't care. You can send it without an envelope even. It's here, bring this letter to him, because you know he's not going to be able to see it anyway. I'm going to understand it anyway. Let him look at it. It's meaningless to him. Mainly, it's the same thing over here. That Hashem had these all kinds of secrets that he didn't want to reveal to everybody, not even to Yechezkel ben Buzi. So that Hashem had to hide it from Yechezkel so he couldn't see it. Because if he would have seen it, he would have understood, and Hashem didn't want to reveal these things. But the Shivcha Niyam is, I can show them whatever I want. They won't be able to understand it because they're not on the level of Yechezkel. So therefore, they saw what Yechezkel didn't see, because to them, Hashem was able to show the Shivcha because he knows that they wouldn't understand it anyways. So therefore, they saw things, it didn't matter, they wouldn't understand it. But Yechezkel, who would have understood it? Therefore, to him, enough you have to keep it in.
So where did they gain from that?
They gained a certain ability, but they saw a Nebu, they didn't understand it. So that's itself a Madriga, they have the Nebu. Okay, it says, I guess under the category of Moshe Avdo. It says, talks about here about Amunas Chachamim. He says, when the Michtav Sofer, again, the Chachav Sofer's son, was a Rav in Krakow, so he says once he became the Rav there, and he was from Hungary. Okay, now Krakow is in Poland. So he was this woman comes crying to him and asks that please to daven for her son who is sick. Now she's speaking in Polish accent or whatever, and he wasn't used to it yet because he was from Hungary, so he didn't know what she was talking about, just crying that. So he figured, so probably she's wants some school or some trufa or whatever, and he said I don't really know of these things, but he wanted to get her off his back. So he says, just take some carobs, some charuv, or leaves of the charuv, and give it to the child. So boil it up and give him to drink and give it to the child. So he says, okay. I didn't understand exactly what kind of a medicine that is, but fine. So she went, she boiled up these carob leaves and gave the son to drink. And sure enough, he got better. So everybody heard about this. Says, oh, our new rabbi, is Mecholel Moftim. He brings the Moftim. They're all excited, whatever. What happens? A few weeks later, another guy comes to him and starts crying and crying. He goes, what's wrong? He goes, I had this pundak, this inn that I was running, renting from the parites, and I wasn't making men's meat, and he wants to, he's asking me for my rental money, and I can't afford it, da-da-da, whole long story. And he says, and I'm in big trouble because I can't pay the rent, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he couldn't hear what this guy was saying, not so much because of the thing, because the guy was crying. He didn't know what he was saying. So he says, he probably has some sick person in his house. So he says, take some carob leaves and boil them up and drink them. So he says, okay, I can't understand exactly how it's going to help the situation, but, he went home, boiled the carob leaves, and drank the concoction. However, it didn't agree with him. So he's afterwards walking outside, and he's like, his terrible, terrible stomach aches. And he's about to collapse in a pain. He's like doubled over in pain. He's like falling on the floor. And just then, the paritz comes by, and he sees him lying on the floor like that. And he says, what's wrong? He says, okay, I understand. Yeah, you're probably all upset that, I'm charging you all this money, and you know, can't afford it. He goes, okay, I'm a vater on the chov. Don't worry, it'll be okay. You don't have to pay me or whatever. So, yeah. And he says that Rabbi Akiva Sofer, his son, says a story. He says, I don't believe in it necessarily in everything, I hear, but what I do believe is Shamami Barav Bemuna Pshuta Nezar Min Hashamayim. The person believes that in a Rav with the Muna Pshuta, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu helps. Okay. Says a famous question said by one of the Dayenus. It says, Ilu kirvanu lifnei har Sinai velo nasan lanu es satara Dayenu. So famous question everybody asks, how would that have been enough? You know, if you would have brought close to the Har Sinai, but you wouldn't give us a Torah, that would have been enough. What good is it standing in front of Har Sinai without getting the Torah? Okay, going to Har Sinai, get the Torah. But you're not getting the Torah. If you brought us to Har Sinai, that's it. That would have been enough. How would that have been enough? So he's medayeg in the lashon of Nasan, right? Ilukirvanu lifnei Har Sinai velo Nasan lanu es haTorah dayenu. Now, what is Nasan? Nasan is lashon Netina. Netina is a lashon of Matana. Right, same lashon. Matana, netina is when you give something for get something undeserved. Okay? And where do we see that? Also, it says the Gemara Nedarim Lamed Ches says Vayiten El Moshe kechaloso ledaber ito. It says in the pasuk that Hashem gave to Moshe after he finished speaking to him. So the Chazal say Shaya Moshe lomed v'shocheach ad shenitnu lo b'matana. When Moshe was Har Sinai, he was learning and he kept forgetting, and he said, I can't chop this Torah, I keep forgetting it. Shosem says, fine, I'll give it to you as a matana. And that's Lashon Vayitein El Moshe. Vayitein, again, Lashon Matana. So Mele says that's the idea. It says, Ilu kirvanu levenei Har Sinai, if you would have brought us to Har Sinai and would have just said, okay, no rush, you know, we'll wait until you arrive, you know, come to the level of being able to understand the Torah, or whatever. I'm in no rush. It might be here a few years, but no rush. So that would have been Dayenu. But that wasn't, but you were in your great chesed, Hashem. That's not what you did. Right? You, Nasan Lanu es haTorah. Lashon Nasan, you gave it to us as a Matana. You said, here, I'm not going to have it. No, you don't have to wait. And this, like Moshe Rabbeinu, boom, here, I'm giving you as a Matana, a freebie. You don't have to earn it. So that's what you care. Finally, if Nasan Lanu es haTorah, if you wouldn't have done that, and you would have just brought us to Har Sinai without giving and let us and be there until we arrive at the love, that would have been Dayenu. But you did it. You gave us Nasan Lanu es haTorah. You gave us the Torah as a Matana. That's what we're thanking Hashem for. Okay, it says another one of the Dayenus. It says Veshikat Sarenu Betocho. Okay, it says if you would have Ilu Karalanu Esayam, if you would have split the sea and not brought us through Vicharava Dayenu, and then it says if you would have brought us through Veloshikat Sarenu Betocho Dayenu, if you wouldn't have sunk our enemies in it, that would also have been Dayenu. Okay, so he brings the Chazal that says on the pasuk says Vayashav Hayam Lifnot Boker Leitano. So the sea split, but then and when the morning came, the sea went back to its way it was, to its strength, where it was to begin with. Okay, so the Chazal are darshan. It says Leitano, and they darshan now is Lashon Tanai, meaning Litno Arishon, meaning Shetnai Hitna Imo Hakadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereishis Sheikra Lifnei Bnei Yisrael. That this was the Hashem made a Tanai originally in the time of Maisa Bereishis that this Yam is going to split for Bnei Yisrael. That's what they learn out of that pasuk. So ask the Chasam Sofer. He says, if Hashem wanted to give a remez that he's going to bring the that he's going to split the sea, right? Why did he bring the remez where the pasuk says that in the morning he brought the sea back the way it was? He should have brought the remez that he made this condition that it's going to split, whatever. When the Torah talks about splitting of the sea, here the Torah is talking about after Hashem put the sea back to where it was. So why give a remez that he made a condition that it's going to split at the end when it was brought back? Should have been at the beginning when he split it. That's one question. Another question, he says, is how come we find a few places that Hashem, split the sea, the Yarden, in front of Yaakov Avinu, and in front of also Bnei Israel as well, right? In the time of Yeshua, and Hashem, in time of Yeshua made the sun stop, etc. And we don't find any conditions. Hashem made a condition. No conditions. Only here we find a condition. Why Dafka over here? So he answers both questions, says the following, that Hashem didn't need any condition to make the sea split. Why? As we see, Hashem does miracles without having to make conditions. We see by all the other places. So that answers the second question, because you don't have to make conditions. Why condition here? Here the condition dafka was lafech to bring the sea back to where it was. That's why you need a condition. Why? Because after Hashem split the Yam, what happened? As Chazal tell us that the Midas Adin said it's not fair. Halalu of the Avodah Zarah, halalu of the Avodah Zarah. Why are you dafka, you know, helping out the Jewish people and not the Mitzrayim? Even the Jewish people they did Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim, so they both did Avodah Zarah. So they say, why are you saving dafka the Jewish people and killing the Mitzrayim? So Hashem had to therefore come up with a condition in order to be able to do so because it is Taina. So Mele, that's why the condition is Dafka was made not Ligabi splitting the Yam. That's like any Nesem doesn't need a condition. But he needed a condition in order to bring the Yam back. That's why it was Dafka that the Rem is brought at the end when the Yam is brought back. And he says that's why and over here when it's going through the Nisim in Dayenu, we have a special one that says Shika Tzareinu Besocho. We have a special Dayenu for that Hashem destroyed our enemies in the Yam. Why? Because that was a special Nes in and of itself. Because really, they with halalu of day, halalu of day. So, we weren't really deserving of it. Hashem needs to make a special deny. So therefore, that's a special thing in and of itself. And therefore, that's why it's one of the, in and of itself, it's one of the things. And one little short thing is from the drashas of the Chasam Sofer. It says at the end here, "V'ichnisanu le'eretz Yisrael." So he says a quote from the Chasam Sofer. He says, "Ki karka eretz Yisrael kedusha atzuma." He says that the ground of eretz Yisrael has a tremendous amount of kedusha. Kedusha atzuma yoter mishamayim shal chutzlaretz. Right, more than the heavens over chutzlaretz is the karka of eretz Yisrael. Rambam's kedusha. Okay, next, we have the three things that a person has to say, Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So, Legabe the Matzah, it says, Matzah zu, shanu achlim, al shuma. And we ask, al shum shaloi speak, but tekam, shal avoseinu lachmitz, until ad shenigla leim melch machayim, lachim ulash baruch. So he says, possible understanding of the question, right? This matzah that we eat, al shuma, so what's pshat this matzah? So he's medayek in this matzah. He doesn't say matzah that we eat. He says this matzah that we eat. What's special about this matzah? This matzah being special in that it has to be plain matzah. In other words, just flour and water. You can't add the spices to it. Can't be matzah shira, made with shemen or this way to make it taste good. No, it has to be just plain old matzah. So that is the question. Matzah zu shanu achlin al shuma. Why this plain matzah? Why don't we spice it up a little bit? Why is it? So he answers the following. He says that normally speaking, you have a person might be a tzaddik, means he's full of Torah and mitzvahs. Okay, he doesn't have much of eris, and or a person could sometimes is a rasha, is the opposite extreme. He's just like full of eris. And other people are both, right? In other words, they do mitzvahs, but they also do averas. They have a mixture. Okay, and that's or b'choshech mishtamshim b'ruviyah. Both mitzvahs and averas, and all mumbled together. However, the very rarely do you have none of the above, where he's doesn't have the Torah, but he doesn't have averas and nothing. Like total, like a par of state, like it's not normal. Now he says, however, that was the matzah of Israel when they came out of Mitzrayim. Why? On the one hand, Hashem took them out of the 49 gates of Tumah, so they left that behind, the Tumah behind them. But it says at Rum Viriyah they didn't have any mitzvahs. So on the one hand, they didn't have the Tumah. They were out of the Tumah, for end of Tumah, but they didn't have the mitzvahs either. So they were in this power of state, not Torah, not mitzvahs. Not Torah, not Averit. So Mele, he says, that's why why are we eating matzah like this? Because what is if we put chametz in other words, yeast or whatever in a thing, we have bread. Okay, so that's a remiss to the Yetzer Hara, as we know chametz. So Arach Matzah doesn't have chametz, doesn't have the Yetzer Hara, doesn't have the bad. But we don't add either the oil and the eggs and whatever, make it a matzah shira either. So we don't have the good things either. So what is it? Just plain matzah. No Yetzer Hara, no good either. No, neither. And therefore, that's the answer, right? Matzah zushanu achlim, this matzah that doesn't grow, it's not like bread, but it's not like, doesn't have the spices either, is plain. And why? So the answer is because this is the matzav of Bnei Yisrael when they left. They didn't have the tumah, but they didn't have the good either. They didn't have the mitzvahs either. That's why we eat this type of matzah. Okay. It says that we said Shaloi speak betekam shalaboseinu lachmitz. So also says Chasam Sofer, based on the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin, it says Galui v'yadua lefanecha. Says Hashem, you know very well that deep down every yid wants to really do what your ratzon is. Umi me'akev, but what's stopping us? So or shebeitz isa, which is the yetzer hara, and shibud malchios, and the goyim ruling over us. So he says that in Mitzrayim they had a lot of shibud malchios. Ain't shibud malchios gedol mizu, right? They were working for the Mitzrayim. So they had a lot of serious shibud malchios, but they didn't have so much sora shabisa. They didn't have yetzer hara. Why? Because it says the greater the person, the greater the yetzer hara. And since they were not great, they were on the 40-month level of tuma, so they didn't have a lot of they weren't great people, so they didn't have great yetzer haras either. So they were in that state. They had a lot of shibud malchios, but they didn't have much yetzer hara. Okay. Now when they left Mitzrayim, what happened? The Shibun Malchius left. But now that the Shibun Malchius left, also they didn't have, they weren't restrained, and now they can become a greater people. Becoming greater people means, though, more Sor Shabi'isa, more Yetzer Har. But Hashem, what did he do? Hashem made it. Achloi speak betzekam. They didn't let their dough rise. They didn't have to have the yetzer hara, the chametz, which we said represents the yetzer hara. Hashem stopped it from rising. Said it shouldn't rise until Hashem brought them out and was megol them from these two things. Right? So Hashem saved them not only from the shibud malchus, but taking them out of Mitzrayim. But He also helped them to combat the yetzer hara, which now they had a tremendous potential for. So Hashem said, "No, betzek is not going to rise. There's going to be no chametz here, and yetzer hara. Even though now you could, because you can be great people, but I'm going to try to save you from the yetzer hara as well. The two gulas." Okay. It says Kigorshu Mimitzrayim. It's famous Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that in the future, not our future, but happened that in time of Alexander the Great, that the people of Mitzrayim, they came with a taina, they took Klal Yisrael to din in front of Alexander Mokdon, Alexander the Great. And said, you took all our possessions, when you left. You borrowed them, and you never gave it back. So we want our money back. So what did the famous Gevi'ah ben Sisa, a simple quote-unquote person, and he said, let me give him an answer, and if I'm successful, good. And if not, you can say, okay, we sent you one of our, people nuts. Not one of our greatest rabbis. Anyway, so he went and he said, very good. You want me to answer? I'll answer you. Where's all you want your money back? Fine, well, I'll give you your money back. But then you have to pay us for all the work we did. There's 600,000 men, able-bodied men that worked for Mitzrayim for 210 years. So fine, you want to pay wages for 600,000 yidden for 210 years? And okay, no problem. I'll give you your money. So the Chasam Sofer explained on a little bit deeper level, more of a pilpul level, what was their taina and what was Gvia ben Sisa's answer. Says that the halacha is, the Gemara says, that if working for a balabais, a worker, and he quits in the middle of the job, So even and a specific somebody that can go bad or whatever, and right. So then the halakha is that since he quit in the middle, you don't have to pay him. Obviously, you don't pay him for his already. Some you don't even pay him for what he worked already. If he worked, he finished half the job. He says, "I'm quitting." He says, "Give me the rest. Give me what I work for." You don't pay him anything since he quit in the middle. That's called yado ala tachtona. However, if the balabais, the opposite, he hires this guy and he fires him in the middle, so then he has to pay him everything. Ah. So, the taina of the Mitzrim where he says, listen, you're supposed to be in Mitzrayim how long? 400 years. You left where? Early. 210 years. So you're the worker that left early. And therefore, we don't have to pay you anything. You know, so, you know, here he's saying, oh, we're paying, you know, via Vincisa, you know, hey, you know, you pay us all this, you owe us all these wages. So, the Mitzrim Katayna, no, so we don't have to pay you all these wages for all these people that work, because you quit in the middle. And if the worker quits in the middle, you don't have to pay him anything, not even what he worked already. So we don't have to give you anything. Ah, so what's the answer? The answer is the other thing we said, that that's only if the worker quits. But what if the balabais, right, fires him, then he has to pay him, not only for, he has to pay him for the whole job. Amemele, what does it say? Ki gorshu mi Mitzrayim, right? That we didn't leave on our own, we were chased out of Mitzrayim. So, ki gorshu mi Mitzrayim, we're chased away. Oh, chased away, oh, you backed out. The Balabai's backed out over here, so you have to pay us everything. What? Which Gemara? About what?
About the halacha, if you quit in the middle, it's a known thing.
You're right. No, the Sanhedrin is the Gemara with the Mitzrim Tavei in front of Alexander Mokdon. That's in Sadi Yala. But the halach is in Choshen Mishpat Shin Lamed Gimel Siftala.
But no, I said we did the work faster. It's not because it was once back, so we did it faster. It was 400 years of like lighter work, and then we did it. One of the questions we did it faster, so we did all the work also. You could say. We just did it faster. So.
Yeah. Okay.
It would make sense if the work would go bad. The work won't go bad. So it's only half a building. The Jews did it were built.
Okay. I don't know. It's okay. At the end of the section, we say lefikach. Lefikach makel chayavim lehodes lehalal shveich lefer leroman lehadil lebarach leila kalais lemisha sal v'seinu lanes kol nisi meila. So he brings the mechilta. The Michilta says that there are 10 shiros, songs, if you were, from the time of Yisias Mitzrayim until the final shira of Lasid Lavo. Where the final shira is in Yeshayahu, it says Shiro Lashem, Shir Chadash. That Shir Chadash, that's the final shir. So the Chazal tell us that all the shiros are mentioned in Lashon Nekeva, Shira. Okay, which Lashon Nekeva, why? Because they all have a shibud after it. And therefore, just like a woman that, you know, the woman gets pregnant and has a child after her. So all the shiras they're very nice, but after it there's another shibud, and then another shira, another shibud. It's feminine because it brings with it shibud after that. So they're all feminine. But the final one is going to be a shir chadash. Shir is masculine. It's the final thing. There's no shibud after that. That's the final. So he said, very nice, Hazam Sofer, that if you lurk over here, on Lefikach, we say, therefore, Anachnu Chayavim, what? Lahodos, that's one. Lahalel, two. Lashabeach, three. Lefer, four. Leromeim, five. Lahadir, six. Levarech, seven. Lale, eight. And Lekales, nine. And we have nine expressions of praise. These are Kenegan, the nine Shiros that we said from Yitzias Mitzrayim until the final one. And then at the end we say v'nomer lefanav shira chadasha, right? This is all in the keva. But the final one is going to be a shir chadash. As the Lamaisa, there is a remez to that at the end over here, and we get to the bracha. Asher yagia damam al kir mizbechach menode lacha shir chadash al gulaseinu al petus nafshenu bruch Hashem gal Yisrael. So there it's a shir chadash. That's the final one's going to be masculine. Okay. It says when I went to the Hallel, the Ketayim of Hallel before the Matzah, etc. So we say Mikashem Elokeinu, Hamagbila Shabbos, etc. So it brings that from the Piyut Ein Kelokeinu, right? That famous question also, that it's a funny order, right? We say Ein Kelokeinu, Ein Kadonenu, Ein Kemashia, right? Now what do we, what comes after that? Mi Kelokeinu, Mi Kadonenu. It's out of order, no? First, don't you first ask the question and then answer it? You should say, Michael Okeinu, who is like her, who is like her? Then you want to ask, no, it is, it's Enkel Okeinu. But here we're asking, we say, Enkel Okeinu. And then we say, by the way, Michael Okeinu, who is like? First you should ask the question and then answer it. So, he answered with a mashal. He says, there was once a professor of math that he asked the students a question, a very complicated math equation, whatever. He asked them this question, and they have to figure it out. So one of the students in the class happened to be his nephew. So he quietly calls over the professor's uncle aside, and he says, listen, this is a hard question, and you know, everybody knows I'm your nephew, and I'm like embarrassed, you know, I'm not going to know how to, you know, figure this out or whatever, so can you help me out here? So the professor, the uncle, says to his nephew, listen, I can't tell you how to, you know, answer this question, but I'll tell you what I'll do. He says, I'll give you the answer. And then, so then once you have the answer, you know, you can figure out, help, you can work backwards, you know, you can figure it out. But I'll give you the answer, but you have to figure it out. But I'll give that much I can do for you. I'll just tell you what the bottom line is, bottom answer. So he says the same thing over here when it comes to Emunah. Right? The first thing we have to know is Ein Kelokeinu. Then we have to know the answer. Then after that, you want to start asking, Michael, okay, you know, working back, how, what, da, da. But the first things first, Ein Kelokeinu. You gotta get the bottom line, that's number one. And then you want to look into it, discuss, you know, Hashkafa, that's all very nice, but first thing is Ein Kelokeinu. Okay. It says, in the Halalir, Ha'ofchi Yatsura Gamayim Chalami Shlamayinu Mayim. So yes, it's funny. This Keta here in Halo was talking about. We're at the Kriyas Yamsuf or the Yarden, how it's split, and then it's you know, Malachayam Kisanus Hayarden. He's talking about the Yamsuf and the Yarden splitting, and then at the end it's talking about Hofchi Yatsura Gamayim Chalam Yishlam. What is that? That's talking about the rock that the bear that they had in the desert that split, and you know, the water came from that, they had water from in the desert. What does this have to do with what we're talking about over here with the Kriyas Yamsuf? So he says that Lamaisa, if you think about it, this is totally the opposite. In other words, splitting the Yam is what? It's getting rid of the water. Right? There's water here, there's no water, and there's dry land. It's getting rid of water. Whereas taking water from the rock is the opposite. You have no water, and he's bringing water when there's no water. So one is getting rid of the water, one is bringing the water. It's a show, Hashem's greatness, that he can do opposites. You know, there's nothing that Hashem can't do. He said, oh, we can get rid of water. Let's see him bring water. Bring water, whatever you want. Take water, bring water. Hashem shows Hashem's greatness. That's one thing why it's brought. And he says a very, very interesting thing. Why this is brought over here. Listen to this. He says that Miriam, the Seder Olam says that Miriam died on Yud Nisan. Okay, now, she died on Yud Nisan. Now, for the week of her Avelis, they still had water. The bear didn't leave yet during her Avelis. Then after that, right, the Torah says they went 3 days, they didn't have water, they complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then he got from the rock, etc. So make a cheshbon, she died on Yud, then you have a week of Shiva, and then you have another 3 days after that where they didn't have the water, and then they after that they asked. So if you make the cheshbon from Yud, and another seven, and another three, so when did the rock split that they get the water from? On Kaf Aleph Nisan, right, which is what? That's Shvi Shel Pesach. So it comes out, we ask, what's the connection over here? Why are we bringing here with the splitting of the Yam? And what does that have to do with the getting the water from the rock? Here too, it was the same day. They're both on Kaf Aleph Nisan. Okay. Also, it says that the Gemara says in Tainis, Tessamet Aleph, right, that the Be'er came in the Schus of Miriam, and then when Miriam died, the Be'er left, and then it came back within the Schus of Moshe. So he points out that the words we say were Hahofchi Hatsur Agamayim, right? That he took the rock and he brought water from it. So if you take the last letters of Hahofchi Hatsur Agamayim, it's Yud Resh Mem Mem, which spells out Miriam. So there's a hint to Miriam that the water came because of her, Sofik Tevas. And if you take the end of the pasuk, Chalami Shlamayno Mayim, you take the end letters of that, it's with the Kol O Moshe. So there's a hint to that it left and it came back for Moshe.